Morning, Mr. Brady. How are you?
I'm good, guys. Nice talking to you.
What did you accomplish on your bye week, Tom?
Well, I got I got caught up on a lot of kind of some football stuff that I've been wanting to work on, and I watched a lot of football games. So, and it was a nice weekend. It was, it's a great time of year for football players to watch the best teams of the league compete, and we're going to be out there next weekend. So, it was a watched the Houston game, and once they won on Saturday, it was pretty much all the focus was on them.
So you did what we did. You plopped your butt down on the couch and watched all four football games.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you see the end of the Seattle-Washington game?
I did.
Did you see the little brouhaha on the field? Did you see who got slapped across the face?
Yeah, I saw that. That's.
I still say you should have done that.
You should have done that.
But with a closed fist.
Hey, we've talked.
Come on, let him respond.
I couldn't do that. Trent Williams is a lot bigger than I am, probably a lot more intimidating. So.
And you know what you have to do if you're Richard Sherman? You don't taunt someone who has no more games to play, no more nothing to worry about as far as suspensions or any of that goes.
Yeah. Well, everyone's got their own style, so.
And how would you describe Richard Sherman's style?
I don't know. I tell you the truth, however people want to, win games, lose games, or everyone reacts differently. I have my own style, and I just try to be respectful of the opponents, because I have a lot of respect for the opponents. It's not a bunch of BS. It's guys that are playing in the NFL are pretty good players, so I just give them the respect they deserve. And I played a lot of really great players in my career. The best cornerbacks, the best linebackers, the best defensive linemen. And when you play against Dwight Freeney and Jason Taylor and you play against those guys, and you realize you're going to have to play them again, you better say as many nice things as you can, which is kind of what I like to do.
Hey, Tom, you have talked to us for years now about execution being absolutely everything on the football field and that a previous game has no bearing on the next game. But is there not some psychological component that when you replay a team that you just beat 42-14 a month ago that enters into the next game?
I don't think that game's going to have any bearing on what happens next week. It was a big win for our season. It was a big win at that time. But this game's going to be entirely different, and I think we've got to be able to put just as much preparation into the game as we did before. So, we had an extra day to prepare. Now it's kind of like a normal week for us. But we know these guys. I mean, I think that's the part that I enjoy is that, I've already spent a lot of time preparing for them. So to have another week to do it, you feel like you're going to know them that much better. Now we still got to go out and execute against it. And they have some great players on defense. That was a very good game they played the other day. I mean, Christian Ponder, they were like minus 8 yards at half. It was pretty ridiculous. But they got a very good defense. They rush. I mean, J.J. Watt's as good as there is in the NFL. So they present their own challenges. And, I know they didn't feel like they played their best against us, which they didn't. And in a lot of ways, I feel like we can play better too. So we're going to need to play better. It's going to need to be our best game.
I know that Bill will do his damnedest to drill it into everybody's head, not to allow human nature to kick in here and just say, maybe even subconsciously, well, we handled them easily before, and we'll handle them easily again. But is that something that not necessarily you, but certain players would have to battle to guard against?
Not in our locker room.
No,
I don't think that's the way we've approached games. And I think that the execution is the reason why we win games. So we're going to go in, and coach is going to talk about all the things that we need to do, and he's going to show us the last game and say these are the things we did well, these are the things we didn't do well. And you take a play like when J.J. Watt made that strip of our of the running back in the game, and it knocked into Brandon Lloyd's hand for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a touchdown for us, but in the end, I mean, those are the type of plays that if they go their way, then, it's a different game. And there's plenty of those games, and there's plenty of those in every single game that you play. So, we just got to make sure that we're doing all the things we need to do to, help us go out and win the game. And it usually starts with turnovers. That's where it usually starts.
Will you guys talk about, or have you already talked about the Jets a couple of years ago when you crushed them in the regular season and then they came back and beat you and knocked you out of the playoffs?
No, we haven't. We haven't talked about that at all. I'm sure, you know, Coach will talk about that this week, though.
Right.
I think that's a great example. I mean, the reason why we lost that game wasn't because we beat them, whatever, 4 weeks before. It was because we sucked in the game.
Right.
You know, we just didn't play the way we're capable. And I think the important part is to play up to our level of expectation. And that's, you know, from myself to the receivers, to the tight end, to the running backs, to the offensive line, to go out and play the way that we're capable of playing. And, you know, we have a lot of confidence when we do that.
How much, in your experience, Tom, in these rematch-type games, how much changes? How many surprises do they throw at you? Or do you just line up and do it again?
Well, we deal with that every year with our division opponents.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes it's somewhat similar. It's never exactly the same. I mean, I don't think any team would lose, you know, by three or four touchdowns and go, man, that was the way to play them. So, but at the same time, everything that you've done over the course of the year, I mean, we always joke when Coach, you know, says, or, you know, we don't want to, you know, we really don't want any bad plays to start the game. Well, you know, you don't know they're going to be bad plays until they're actually bad plays, until the, you know.
Right.
So if you thought it was going to be a bad play going into it, then, you know, you wouldn't do it. So that's game planning. I mean, when you put together a game plan and you feel confident about what you're doing, you know, you don't ever think like, wow, this, you know, this play's kind of average. So, you know, you, when you play an opponent earlier in the year, you get a chance. You put together the plan. You put together the schemes you think will work. Then you go out and you try to execute them. Well, some of them you go, well, why were we doing that? You know, that wasn't a great thought. And then the next time you get an opportunity to play that team, you know, you can really focus in on the things that, you know, you're doing that you did really well. And they're doing the same thing. So that's kind of the chess match. And it's always a lot of adjustments. And, you know, our coaches do a better job, you know, I feel, than anybody at making adjustments. And, you know, we had a great bye week last week to really improve, get better, to really understand how we've been successful with certain things this year and how we're going to need to continue to do things well in order to be successful here in the postseason.
Tom, conversely, if you've done something effectively against a particular team, is it safe to assume that you'll see it again in the next game? As an example, the Welker double move that put you on the scoreboard 7-0, or that fake stretch that had Lloyd so wide open. We assume, and should Texans assume, they'll see that again?
Well, I think it's one of those things that, you know, it's like any, I mean, like, if you're a boxer and you keep getting hit by a right hand, at some point you got to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
But then that opens you up for other things. And then you start covering up those other things and you come back to, you know, what works. I think that's part of it. And when you run play action like on the one to Brandon Lloyd, like, you know, at some point you got to come up and try to stop the run.
Right.
And if you don't, then we're just going to keep running. And I think that's part of the art of the play call and the scheme is that, you know, if you're going to keep jumping routes, then, you know, you got to be able to run double moves. You know, if you're going to play soft and cover the double move, then we got to keep throwing the outs,
mm-hmm.
you know, or keep throwing the curls or keep throwing whatever, you know, the slants. And I think that's just part of the aggressiveness. And they take their chances, we take our chances. And, you know, if we get a chance, we got to make the play. I think that's what it comes down to, because at some point we're going to have a chance. We just got to be able to capitalize, you know, when we get it. The long foul balls, those don't help us at all.
Right.
So I think we've got to focus on, you know, the game plan, have a great week of practice, and then be ready to go out and execute our best, you know, next Sunday.
In practice, Tom, is Gronk using both arms?
Well, he's working hard. I mean, nobody wants to be out there more than him on a full-time basis. And I think sometimes, you know, he's never really – you know, missed any games for us. So,
right.
You know, it's been really hard for him to sit on the sideline, and he wants to get out there. And I think sometimes you get out there and you think that, you know, everything's going to be perfect just because, you know, you have a little time. But, you know, he's working hard to do his rehab and get back out there and you know, be as full speed as he can possibly be. So, you know, that's what we're all hoping. And whether that's the case, who knows. But regardless of that, he's, you know, we still got to go out there and play great. And we've won, you know, a bunch of games with him not in there too. So right. we got to be prepared to do whatever we need to do,
including against these guys, right? Hey, if you were RG3 yesterday and you were hobbling, and Belichick said to you, you know, can you still play? Can you go? You would lie too, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you just say, sure, it's game day. I got to be out there.
I think that you have to just determine, you know, what's best for the team, to tell you the truth. It's nothing about, you know, the selfishness of a player, or, you know, you got to, if you feel like you can help the team win, then to me, that's what you got to do. So, you know, what an incredible player and year he's had. And both those teams yesterday are, you know, I mean, you see the teams, and we always talk about football season starting after Thanksgiving. Well, that's what it did for the Redskins, and that's what it did for the Seahawks, and you know, that's what it did for us, and San Francisco, and all these teams that are in the playoffs, Green Bay, and I mean, these teams that are playing really well. That's when it's most important. So, RG3, what a year, and you know, I certainly hope the injury isn't serious, but he had a great season.
100% of the guys who play football in the National Football League say once they get to the playoffs, everything speeds up a little bit, everything gets a little more intense, everything gets a little more frenetic. Is it more fun than the regular season for you, Tom?
Well, there's a level of intensity that you have that really you can't simulate. You know, maybe a Monday night game against a big, you know, a big opponent with a lot on the line, or a Sunday night game where you're kind of the only team out there.
Right.
You know, but the playoffs is just different. There's repercussions to losing games, and that's the difference. So there are in the regular season, but not like this. So you one play can send your team home. I think that's the difference.
All right, so there's more pressure, and it ends abruptly if you lose. But my question remains, do you find the playoffs more fun, just from a fun factor, than a regular season game in the middle of, you know, November?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is what we play for. This is what it's all about. This is why you work hard. This is what mental toughness is all about. This is what it's all about. So, yeah, it's more fun when you're challenged more and there's more at stake. And there is more this week than there was, you know, 2 weeks ago.
Will you be seeing tennis rackets in practice this week again?
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. I mean, they might be taller this time. I mean, he might get five or six of them out there. Last time he had four, and they just tried to mirror, you know, where I was looking, and it's actually very helpful. So I'm always excited to see what Coach Belichick's going to kind of pull out of his hat.
Hey, when you play golf, do you consider yourself a clutch putter? When you played baseball and guys on base, did you think you got better in those moments? Do you feel like in all around that you're a clutch guy? Do you take pride in that?
Well, I try to be consistent. I don't, you know, I always feel like I kind of play the same. I mean, I know there's weeks where it looks a little bit different, but, you know, I always try to put the preparation in. I always try to be as ready as I could be with my emotion, as, you know, my leadership, you know, what I feel like I can bring to the team. Now, whether you hit every play out there, that's a little bit different in terms of, you know, making the critical plays at the right time. I mean, our team's proven that we can do that, you know, for a long time. So right. I think the thing about football is it's different than in basketball, where it's like, you know, you just toss the ball to Kobe Bryant or LeBron James with, you know, 20 seconds left on the clock and you go, okay, here you go. I mean, that's not football. So, you know, football, you rely so much on, you know, Danny Woodhead and Wes Welker and Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez, that we've all got to be on the same page. So it's a, you know, it's very different than golf or tennis, or, you know, you always see Tiger Woods, and yeah, I mean, it's up to Tiger Woods. I mean, I wish it was always up to me, but it's up to, you know, all 53 of us, which in the end makes it that much sweeter because you can celebrate with 53 other guys.
Well, speak for yourself, Tom, because did you see the Cotton Bowl Friday night? I'm pretty sure Johnny Manziel did that by himself.
He does. Now, that's right. He's the exception. So he's a one-man show. I mean, that was amazing to watch him play, and it's going to be fun to watch him for many, many years to come.
I was getting ready today to jump on the first person who said, oh, that won't translate to the pros the way they say, but oftentimes say about mobile quarterbacks in college. I'm sorry. There's no weakness in this kid. And what we saw Friday night, that translates to the pros.
Yeah. Yeah. When you can have that athletic ability and, the way that he can find open receivers, and it's incredible how he's able to move and make good decisions. I think that's always the most challenging thing, I think, just from my standpoint, is when the play breaks down and you've got to make a good decision, it's something that you've never practiced. Your ability to make good decisions with the football, and whether to throw it, to run it, to throw it away, to, gain 3 yards and slide to try to make a guy miss, like, it seems like he's never wrong. So it tells you how quickly he can process,
right,
and how his brain and his body react together. It's pretty amazing.
I was thinking the same thing. I mean, the instincts, he can be running around crazy the way we often see quarterbacks run around, and then this about a guy ready to kill him, and boom, he gets rid of the ball. He's not throwing it away. He's finding the receiver, knowing right where he's going to be. He's for a guy who doesn't show the best judgment off the field, he is a very smart player on the field.
Yeah, well, that's a rare gift, and I think those other players, and you talk about a guy like RG3. Well, I mean, he did it all this season. Russell Wilson,
right?
Colin Kaepernick's had a great year. I mean, it's great decisions in the pocket. Peyton Manning's done it for year after year. Is when to try to make the throw, when to throw it away, when to cut your losses on second down, or when to try to drill it into a tight spot when it's third and seven, or is the same decision you make in the first quarter, when it's, when you got 3 quarters of football left, different than when there's 2 minutes left in the game and you got to make a tight throw. So all those decisions are, those come into play. And, the best quarterbacks or the best players make the best decisions. And it's ultimately all about risk-reward. So, why take a crazy risk for a 2-yard gain? I mean, that makes no sense. You're trying to calculate those risks so that, if there is a degree of risk, which there is on every play, then hopefully there's the most chance for a reward as well.
Tom, speaking of running and mobile and athletic quarterbacks, and in Russell Wilson's case, a blocking quarterback, will you have to explain to Ridley at some point this week why you're not going to be leading him into the end zone like Russell Wilson did, Lynch?
Because he would walk me down so fast. He'd just say, "Get the hell out of my way, because you're causing me problems. You're getting in my way, and I can't see." So. That was a great play by Russell Wilson, and to have that athletic ability. I mean, I've always dreamed of having that athletic ability. I've never had it, but the guys who can and use that as a way to help their team is that's just a huge bonus. So that was a great play.
You probably don't know this, but last week somebody tweeted to Drew Bledsoe and said, in a foot race, who would win, you or Tom Brady? And he started laughing. He said, I'd beat Tom easily. You agree with that?
he could.
Yeah.
Once he got going, he was pretty fast. He was big and strong, and once he got moving in one direction, I've seen him run, and he could run a little bit.
You think you could outrun Peyton Manning? 40-yard dash.
Now, I would take my chances on beating Peyton. I think you'd have, it'd be an hour-long special if the two of us were in a 40-yard dash. You'd have to tune in the whole time.
Dino, should we break the news to him?
About?
Ray Lewis?
Oh, have you heard that Ray Lewis is going to retire?
Ray Lewis is retiring, Tom.
Yeah, I know. I watched that, I said last week I've had the privilege to play against him, and that really is a privilege, because you talk about guys that do things the right way and play the right way and play the game the way it should be played, and you have respect for your opponents and the preparation. And we've had some battles, and it's amazing for one player like that, for as long as he's been at Baltimore, they've had, if not the best, one of the top three best defenses in the league, year in, year out. Player after player, coordinator after coordinator, and he's, they're doing it again this year. So,
were you glad not to see him again? I mean, you still might, I know, but this week, were you glad? I know you weren't rooting for one team over another,
right?
But obviously, when the Texans won, you weren't going to see the Ray Lewis farewell tour up here this week,
right? Well, and like I said, I mean, who knows what happens next week? I mean, there would nothing would make me happier than to advance to the next round. But we've got a big task ahead of us before that could happen. He's, you know, I'll be watching, you know, Saturday night, you know, that game and watching, you know, him and Ed Reed, you know, who's one of my favorite players in the league just as a football fan. But, you know, our attention is going to be focused on the Texans.
You know, you do have a common thread with Ray Lewis, the dance celebration. This past game that you played Houston, as you recall, at the end of the third quarter, you scrambled for a first down, and that was the big celebration that got the house all jacked up. We going to see that again this weekend?
If you do, it may be, yeah, hopefully that's – if I can do that, believe me, I would love to do it. It's, you know, whether my instincts, which aren't great in making those type of decisions, take over. You know, it's I do get fired up at times, but it's nothing like Ray Lewis dancing.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Cool yesterday.
Final question, if you had a vote, who's your rookie of the year? Who's your MVP?
Well, I don't have a vote, so.
This is our hypothetical question, Tom. Yeah, I just didn't introduce it as such.
I mean, this is what you guys debate all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's too hard to tell. I don't like any of these real individual awards for, you know, team sports. It's how you compare one rookie to another rookie or one player to another player. I mean, between, you know, you look at Adrian Peterson the year he had and Peyton Manning the year he had and Aaron Rodgers the year he had. I mean, they're all incredible. So I don't think one's more valuable than the other. I think they're all valuable, and that's why, you know, Aaron Rodgers' team's still playing, and Peyton Manning's team's still playing. You know, that's team football, and that's the best teams advance. And I think that the important part about, you know, those awards is, which Coach Belichick actually talked about a few years ago, is, you know, the last time an NFL MVP won the Super Bowl, it's been a long, long time. So whether it was that or it was, I think, the NBA Finals with LeBron James,
right?
That was the... You know, that was the one that kind of broke the mold for a long time. But it just doesn't translate into, you know, who's most valuable or the award or so-called, you know. And I don't want to, you know, disrespect that award at all because, I'm not trying to do that. I'm just – it's all about team sports and team goals, and it's about the Super Bowl ring. That's what's most important.
You can vote for Trent Williams if you want.
The slapper.
Yeah, I'll leave that to you guys.
Oh, I know. As soon as he hangs up, he's going to tell someone, I love that Trent Williams.
Who do you got tonight, Alabama or Notre Dame, Tom?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. I haven't had a chance to watch Alabama play much. So, but I mean, they're going to be tough to beat. With all the athletes that are on our team that have come out of Alabama, it's hard to bet against those guys.
But, I'm just trying to picture this weekend when you said you watched all four football games. The whole family sit around and watch football? The boys into it? Or how does that work? Are you by yourself?
The boys are still running around, so I'm trying to track them down. But, you know, my wife was, you know, very helpful and with the baby and the kids, so it makes it a little easier for me.
All right, Tom, have a good week of practice. Look forward to this weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys. Thanks. Take care.